need to say that so I can remember who it was. I remember when I was a kid, Wes, I hate to say that, but you were pretty much a media star out in L.A. with the Angels, and I believe it was at Mamie Van Doren that you were married to for a little bit.
Yeah.
How, if you'd been playing today like that, how big of a star do you think you would have been?
Well, first of all, I think we all were kids. You were a kid, I think, a little after I was a kid.
Right.
As historically, I'll tell you what, if I was playing baseball today, the same attitude I had then, I probably could afford 20 Mamie Van Dorens with the money they're making today. I was a little different kind of major league ball player. I was probably, a lot of people say, well, you're way before your time or you're after your time. You know, you should have played the guys in the 30s and the 20s when they were, you should have, you know, been playing now and they, you know, make the money they do. So I never really found a place in my life where I should have been. That seems to be the story of my life. So historically, as you guys would put it, I probably was a different kind of player than I am. And with 28 victories, I probably got more mileage out of 28 victories than any other baseball player in history in baseball. So, but that played in the days was still a sport. Historically speaking, if you look at it, I mean, after 75, it really became a big business, you know.
Do you think that the money aspect of it is the biggest change since you played?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, money will change a lot of people, a lot of things. And we had Marvin Miller come in, you know. Of course, you know, that was the greatest thing for baseball. Because baseball will survive anything, the game itself. You know, it really will take a tremendous screw up, you know, to mess up baseball. It's just a matter of time until they find some happy meeting where everybody's sort of satisfied with the salaries coming in. But you know, with the reserve clause the way they had it, it was sort of unfair in one way, and then when Marvin Miller came in, you know, they opened up the books and it's sort of unfair the other way now. It's just big money. It even boggles anybody's mind. The President of the United States is even scratching his head at some of the salaries the players make. But I say, as a sportsman, I played it back in the 60s, and I still come in the old-timers' games, and I see some of the players, the great players, I mean, you know, that had some great years in their stages and theirs. And, you know, I mean, I could imagine some of the money they would have demanded. You know, and as far as me, well, I was concerned, give me Hollywood, the bright lights, and some pretty girls, and, you know, a few victories. I wasn't greedy, no hitter thrown in now and then. You know, that satisfied me, so. But it's funny, I went to a banquet last year, and Steve Carlton and Mike Marshall describing me, you know, they were sitting on both sides, and Steve Carlton won 329 ball games. Mike Marshall, I think, holds a record, 106 saves in one season. And I'm sitting in the middle of a Bob Musky, you know, flamboyant, notorious type of ball player, 28 victories, though. And Mrs. Gal comes up with her two kids. Mr. Walensky, can I please have you? I've been looking all over for you. Steve looks at me, and Mike looks at me. And I looked at him, and I said, look, because you guys did it the easy way. I said, you know, Steve, you had it. You went out, you won your 329 ball games, Mike. You won out, saved 106 ball games. As you try to get that notoriety on 28 victories, that's working hard. So, but that's what makes baseball so great. It took all kinds of people.
If you were beginning your career now, is there anything you'd do differently?
I'm going to tell you, second guessing myself, I'm sure, you know, there could have been a whole bunch of things. As far as record-wise, I got a lot of mileage. I had a lot of fun. I see a lot of players right now that, you know, great players, Connor Killebrew, Mike Poyer, you know, guys that just had tremendous, you know, careers. And you mentioned my name, too. Oh, boy, they always have a little smile on their faces. It was, you know, I was always in the news and everything. It sort of brought a little pleasure being in the game. I can't second guess myself. Players that just played recently, like 80, 81, 79, 78, that you figured it would be set for life, they're hurting financially. So financially, you know, I played in the wrong time of year. I think maybe I could have possibly dedicated myself a little bit more, you know, as far as being a little more obedient to the game, being more regimental. But then again, with my personality, the kind of guy, well, that was sort of a flamboyant kind of guy. I didn't kill anybody, you know.
How difficult was the transition to regular life, for lack of a better term, when you had to give up the game? How difficult was that transition?
Well, it was different. It was different, you know. And we were talking about that again today, baseball players today. You figure a lot of people would think that some of the players who played 79, 80, 81, being a professional ball player is tough to get out there. And even these guys today, with those millions of dollars, they're out there and they're, you know, unless you rely on an attorney or an agent, you know, invest your money. You know, very few people are capable in the game of baseball to step into the real world and have business procedure. I think someone's along the line, we're going to have to address this issue in professional sports to learn how to really prepare people to get out there vocation-wise. And when I got out, you know, I mean, I was out of my element. But then again, I didn't have as much to lose as some of the guys that have really, you know, hit the bottom. But then again, you know, that's life. I just came back. I lived 9 years in Hawaii, which is a 2BAD, you know, in a beautiful state. I live in Las Vegas now. I'm getting what I need. I'm alive. We're kicking. I don't expect to live this long. 41, 42 years old. Here I am, 54 years old. So, it's a real world out there, other than baseball. I think all of us feel that way.
Has being a former ball player, you think, helped you since you played? Did it open up any doors or anything like that?
I've got to tell you, they, not really. You're going to get as good as what you can offer. You know, a lot of people, when you're playing sports and all this, they all know you, they all want to help you. You come to them about 2 3 years later, you really need an honest job. And they look at you and say, oh, you're kidding. How can I hire you? When I was a kid, I used to be, you know, my eyes. I need a job. You know, I got to eat. And, you know, they just really don't take you seriously. They remember you as a baseball player. So I used to stepping into the real world coming out of baseball, saying, here I am, world. It doesn't work that way. Some guys, you know, are better prepared than others. And there's a lot of doctors out each year. Fortunately, I was, you know, I'm tutored, block from, you know, you get what you get. I don't expect too much out of life.
That's a great deal.
I think about 7 years after I got out of baseball, I was really strong.
When you were here,
you know, I had access to all kinds of money and all that, and I thought that made me happy. Not really.
Was that maybe,
you know, it was just about ready to kill me. I got to remember who basically I am, where my roots are. And when I come to old time games like this, you see guys who took that five years. That's what it's all about. Very select few people have the opportunity to be baseball players. And that is an honor for myself.
What separates, you know, when you get to the level of AAA, it would seem to me that a lot of people have the talent. What keeps some people from making the big leagues and other people making it?
Nowadays, it's definitely talent. Where the money's there, everything's laid out. You know, in my days, we're talking about guys that were bankers, losers, abusers. You know, in the minor leagues, you get buried, and they worry about how to get the ball over the plate, how to get the most out of you. And a lot of guys don't fix their problems around alcoholism. They didn't have to address it. We got rid of the alcoholic. Now they're starting to realize that athletes, there's just like anybody else out there, they can, I've seen a lot of guys in the minor leagues that tremendous amount of talent in my day, they're going to be in the major leagues, just had no problems and never backtracked. And today, I think now they're a little more educated where you see guys having a problem in the minor leagues. They'll flush it out real fast. You know, counseling. And so, you know, there are guys every now and then that have ability to see through. Injury factors. Some guys are just constitutionally capable of lending themselves. They're amazingly clear. They have ability. But today, you know, you got to really be crazy. about millions of dollars.
Yeah, I remember the play.
How do you feel about Pete Rose banning from the Hall of Fame?
One would think that Pete Rose, not to say that Pete Rose is trying to use that as Pete, that Pete was going to have this kind of problem. No, he would never. Why would he have the gambling? It was a kink there. So there was definitely a psychological kink going on there. And I think with him being banned right now for the Hall of Fame, that's where it stands right now. But people realize that, hey, we're all human beings. There are problems that people encounter. It's not because they set themselves out saying, hey, I'm going to have a gambling problem, I'm going to have a drinking problem. We didn't want to become an alcoholic. You know, otherwise you're going to have a drink. Things happen along the way. And now I think baseball's starting to realize that, just being an athlete, you could also fall wayside with some problems that are addictive. And gambling is addiction. You'll see more and more of it happening now with the gamblers coming to the United States. So the people, and I think within the next 3-4 years, being a Hall of Fame, if it isn't, I'd be very disappointed. Great person. A lot of people don't realize he was very helpful to a lot of people behind the scenes. A lot of people don't know about Pete Rose. I thought he was a very compassionate person who helped a lot of people out. He tried his own problems. He went through problems. So, look at the character of the man. Let's look at the real character. And he felt something that was a problem. I mean, gambling. And it wasn't because he's a scheming liar. He's out there, the wind up robbing the government, robbing baseball. It was a problem with the psychological problem. It was a disease. Gambling was a disease. So I think as we understand this, we realize that let's be a little compassionate towards this man. He donated, gave his three baseball a tremendous amount. Let's forget about the man behind the Hall of Fame. That was the biggest thing in the World Series.
When you were playing for the Angels, it was, I believe it was fairly close to right after expansion, was it not? It was early 60s when you were playing there.
It was 62 is my first year. It was the second year.
How does expansion affect the level of play? The National League's getting ready to expand again. What do you think it's going to do to the level of play?
Well, with today's market, it's a little different. You're talking about bidding market and all this. As soon as a team starts to harness itself, then the series starts to win, You're talking about 3-4 years to be a contender real fast. In the old days, the contention ball club, you relied on, team contenders plus. So our second year expansion, 1962, the Angels, we're only 2 games out of first place every day, weekend. And we're contending with the Yankees. We didn't realize what was happening. Bill Rigney is there saying, boys, just give me third place. And I'm saying, hey, we got a chance to win the play. The reality was there. So it can happen. Likely in the older days, the expansion teams, it wasn't going to happen. Today, the new teams that come in, I picture within anywhere from 3 to 5 years, they're going to be playing their division.
Well, you think in your particular case with the Angels, you think it was because you all were too young to know the pressure?
We didn't know what was happening. We were Gene Autry, Dream Machine, the ex-cowboy, things were happening. The people were sort of tired of rooting for the Dodgers, the typical winning Dodgers. And we were playing good. We had some guys that were producing. And we wound up, all of a sudden, looking around on contention, great year. Rigney wound up manager of the year that year. That was only his second year in existence. Now, that's pretty much insane now, manager of the year, 2 years in existence. I was a guy that came out, wound up being very controversial and gave a lot of recognition to the ball club. So it was like a dream type of team. So anything is liable to happen in baseball. I wouldn't trade the 1962 win for all the money they make today in baseball. I start in Hollywood and Los Angeles for 1 year, and in itself, money couldn't buy that. I could pitch my no-hitter in Kansas City or Cincinnati. This has been another no-hitter. It happened to be in the days where Winchell was traveling around with us, all the stars and everything, and it's really interesting to be a star in Los Angeles and Hollywood for 1 year. money can't buy the cure.
Do you think it's an advantage that players in L.A. or New York or someplace like that have an advantage over us?
Definitely. You know, location is very important. Even with big money being made today, you know, it's easier in the market of Los Angeles and New York and teams that can afford to pay you. The St. Louis, the great teams that they have and all this, you know, they're on a budget. Cincinnati, Marge had a choke at the bit, you know, she's looking at that salary. A very successful law club, you know. But those owners, every time they look at that payroll salary, they get a big apple, and, you know, they got to have some real strong resentments. I don't care how much money they're having. So, but it's always nice to be in a town like Los Angeles, New York, or even Chicago now, to, you know, new setups they have there. And, you know, they traded me, like, in 64, you know, they traded me after that season, had some problems, traded me to Philadelphia. You know, from L.A. to Philadelphia, I mean, you know, that was, people say, you know, what's the worst thing that ever happened to you? I said, well, you know, I said, that could be the one, you know, from Hollywood to Philadelphia. And I remember the headlines that night came out after they traded me. It says, the first time in baseball history they made a stud of Philly overnight. You know, I'm looking at these headlines, you know, and I'm going, oh, Philadelphia. You know, and then in 64, remember the Phillies had that big collapse? Well, I call them the next year, you know, that's the kind of team you want to catch. You know, Gene Mock was the manager. Was short, and Jim Bunny were the stars of the team. And, you know, then I'm back 60 miles from where I tried to escape all my life, Philadelphia. So, you know, I have my ups and downs in this.
At this point, he was called to the field for the old-timers game, so the interview with Bill Belinsky is completed.